Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Do you ever see a successful woman on your feed or in a magazine and think, wow, it must be nice to have it so easy? Well, think again. Behind that glossy cover or smiling face is a ton of hard work, countless failures, and endless learning experiences. I'm Rebecca Minkoff, and I'm here to tell you that success isn't a walk in the park. It takes grit, resilience, and a willingness to take risks. That's why I created Superwoman. A podcast that peels back the varnish and gets into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to make it as a woman in today's world. From luminaries and game changers to women you've never heard of but should, this podcast is here to inspire you to take your next leap, no matter how daunting it may seem. We'll explore the sacrifices these women have made, the highs and lows they've experienced, and the lessons they've learned along the way. So if you're ready to be inspired and learn from some of the most successful women out there, join me on Superwomen. Together, we'll uncover the stories behind the successes and prove that with hard work, determination, and a little bit of luck, anything is possible. Hey everyone, you're listening to Superwomen. Today's guest is Jamie O'Banion, the Beauty Bio founder. I had the opportunity to meet Jamie a couple of months ago in New York City, where she blew me away with her knowledge of the science of skincare. Her family owns a cosmetic lab, and growing up, her refrigerator was stocked with skincare formulas in the making, and the dinner table conversations were all about chemistry. Fast forward years later, she is armed with a wealth of insider beauty knowledge that has helped launch Beauty Bio into the hundreds of millions of dollars in sales a year, and one of the most competitively priced skincare products and beauty tools, which are sold everywhere from chains like Ulta to stores like Bergdorf. We go deep on how much it took to create a business, how she has dived deep to find her customer, and making skincare and the science of it a reality for so many women. Take a listen. Jamie, I'm so glad that we made this happen. It's so good to see your face. Not as good as in person, but we'll make do. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I just love and adore you and admire all that you're doing and juggling, and it's inspiring to so many people.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm so glad we got introduced by Jolie and I got to come to your divine event. I still have a tower of your products.
Yay.
So I'll let you know that. My daughter tried to steal them and I was like, don't you touch those. Those are
well, we go through that same struggle in our house with all the littles like coming in and out.
Oh my gosh. So I was really fascinated, especially when you did, not only are you a founder of an incredible company, but your knowledge of beauty and efficacy and the science behind it runs deep. You're not just a face. And so when you were giving the demonstration at that brunch, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to have you on the podcast, because I do think it's rare for someone with a company like yours to have the knowledge and the backing of expertise that you have. So
thank you.
Let's start at the beginning. You know, what got you interested in skin and, you know, glow and everything? And then what made you launch Beauty Bio?
Yeah. So I am a total science nerd. I grew up with a father who's like Mensa brilliant, like absent-minded professor, like just super, super bright. And he not only had his practice as a physician, but he was also an owner in one of the top labs in the US, and then eventually became an owner in a lab in Singapore, and then one in Germany as well. And he just loves science, and six kids in my family. So that's probably why I'm super flexible and like Tokyo tonight, let's go. I'll get a toothbrush at the airport, which I think is helpful as an entrepreneur. But he was one that really challenged my own thinking, and very much a purist in terms of, you know, efficacy and does something work, does it not work? Dinner table conversations were, what's the pH of your skin? And let's talk about the difference between these forms of vitamin C or ionic activity. And it was really an interesting position because I've always been very much a girl's girl. And I think it's so important to meet people where they're at and help be almost like a Rosetta Stone, if you will. And I have no problem being the one in the room to be like, I have no idea what that acronym means. I didn't know what EBITDA was before I needed to know what it was when I started the business, right? So I would say, what does that mean? What is, so when you're talking about peptides and nano delivery, like, what does that mean? And it was really helpful to ask those questions. And I traveled with my dad to these different countries. And by the time I was probably 16 years old, it was, I could tell you what someone's skin concern was and in Asia versus in Europe versus in the US. And there's some that are quite synonymous across the board, and others that are quite unique to those certain markets, which again, had no idea I would need that information one day. And it's like, you know, file here. And I do think in life for everyone, when I have, you know, girls that will say, I want to do something, but I'm not sure what it is yet. Your life leaves these little breadcrumbs. And it's crazy when you start to, they feel very completely disassociated in the moment. And you'll find as they all come together, like it gives me goosebumps how that happened. So growing up in the world of skincare, and if you opened up our refrigerator, there were like crazy lab number labeled formulas in the fridge, you know, GFS and HGH and all of these things. My girlfriends loved coming over because we had like the first microdermabrasion machine at our kitchen table. And it was just a fun environment of experimentation. And now I have it like served back to me with my girls who are always like experimenting. So I love that. And I went to a really focused all-girls school, very STEM focused. And it was quite academically rigorous, which is great because I think it really honed my thinking. So when Beauty Bio started, I'm so glad I didn't know what I didn't know. I had no idea about like these massive marketing budgets that all of these brands that I would have been so intimidated had I known everything going into it, or even the statistical likelihood of success, right? It's hard, but I knew formula and I knew skin and I knew skincare. So I started modeling just by happenstance. I got kind of pulled into it when I was maybe 16, 17, my sister as well. And which again was, I'm so grateful for because I mean, I've done campaigns for beauty brands and spent time in front of the camera, which has helped me with my creative team. I worked with some of the top makeup artists and I'm like, why are we putting hemorrhoid cream under our eyes right now? Like, walk me through the logic of why this
should
is
we be thing. Doing that? Should
no,
we?
No, because... you should not. You should not. Okay. But it was interesting because it allowed me to unpack someone's journey, right? At why they thought something was great, which was really helpful because imagine I had this moment where I thought, what are the chances that I happen to be born in this industry? I'm also touching the middle before it hits consumer positioning narration of a product or a launch with these different makeup artists and brands. And then of course the consumer, my girlfriends who are coming to me and saying, can you make more of that little, like I constantly have lab samples everywhere. I'm like, what are you using for this? Cause I was just putting it together what I wanted, right? With the team. So fast forward after a few really messy incidences, mentally messy for me of helping to make some new raw materials, meaning our chemist, not me, but our chemist on the bench. I was the annoying kid. I'm sure he was like, why are we doing that? And what is that? And wait, is that how it starts? Can you change the color? You know, so because my cute dad would just let me like tag along and no other kids were there thinking back, but yes, it was me. And it was a great opportunity as we're, you know, pulling this all together, these friends saying, what about this? What about that? Then inner brands that say, we want to develop a new ingredient. And here's how it works. I think this is what a lot of people don't understand. is you have a lab. Think of it like a kitchen, like a ghost kitchen, okay? Where a brand or an individual, or be it an influencer, a plastic surgeon, one of the big four who just wants to buy one ingredient from you that they can't make, right? You'll service all of these different opportunities. And it's great when you can control it, meaning like turnkey, like start to finish. But when you're developing new ingredients, which is what we were really well known for, most labs don't. We were one of the first pioneers in peptides. Like my chief biochemist is known as like the grandfather of peptides. We're leaders in retinol and retinoids, which eventually skincare kind of got us into tools to just help things absorb more and so forth. But because of that, you will sometimes sell an ingredient on its own. And this is what people don't understand. So I had an experience, and we were just chatting about my sweet mother, who I've never, ever even heard her say an unkind thing about anybody. So probably naively trusting for me, I'm like, everybody is great and everybody just wants to do the same thing. And I'm helping to develop this. There were three times that this happened. Develop a new raw material. You're working on the technical data sheet. This is the pH. It's water soluble. It's la, la, la. Here's the viscosity. And then you ship your baby off. And one of the most important things, like probably the single most important thing, is this is the percentage that needs to be in that product to be efficacious. Like imagine if you're baking, you could bake
the right amount of baking soda or whatever
exactly.
It is.
Yeah. And you can actually make a loaf of bread and with no salt, right? And it looks beautiful, but it tastes like not great.
Cardboard. Yep.
So same thing with skincare. And fast forward, instead of using 5% as recommended in this one raw material, it was in at sub 3% over and over again. And the part that kills me is it's above 1%. So they can legally say it's in there and make all the marketing claims, but it's wrong. Like it's not, it doesn't matter how much spinach you're going, like, it's not going to happen. Like the math is not mathing. Right. And so I came from a place of, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I just want to help educate. And these are the products that I use. This is what it is. So we started first with an amazing retinol product called R45, which is a huge seller for us. It's a patented retinol that we have. And then as the brand grew, then we launched our microneedling tool, GloPro. We all hold the patent for microneedling. There's 1 million knockoffs. If it's not GloPro, please don't do it at home. But it's really safe to use at home. It's fantastic. Helps everything absorb better, including these ingredients, right? So,
and I just have to say, you did the demonstration of your microneedling tool on your hand, and I was blown away. I was like, I can totally do it,
but it's like, it is amazing. And it is something that no matter what you're using, I don't like wasting money. And I know too much, right? Like I have literally seen behind a microscope, this is what happens in your skin. This is how it gets absorbed. This is how it doesn't. And there's just a lot of noise that is out there. So my whole goal is, let's just break it down. Like these are going to be all the extra categories. Like these are the nice to haves, but like you need to be using vitamin C every day on your skin. You need to be using vitamin A on your skin at night, retinol, right? I prefer acid-free vitamin C. And then the form of retinol that we use, because it doesn't flare and inflame your skin. Like most retinols do that were originally, of course, developed for acne. And then you got to stimulate your skin. It's almost like you've got to eat well and you're an amazing like fitness goddess. Let's be real. So you know this, you're so in shape. It's the combination of eating well. So that's your goop, your skincare, right? But then it's also adding in the treadmill, the weights together, right? Like that is our philosophy. And it makes so much sense. Your skin's the largest living organ. So you're going to get part of the way there if you're having my protein shakes and my vitamins and everything. But if I am not like weight bearing exercise, I am not going to get the best result from my body. So, I mean, everyone should do whatever they do and whatever feels right for them, but just scientifically, that's the reality.
So you said you didn't know what you were getting yourself into when you started. So you clearly had the sourcing capabilities, the knowledge, the expertise of the product itself. But tell me about a roadblock you hit kind of as you started, like, oh, didn't know that needed to happen, and sort of how you grew from that experience.
Totally. I probably made every mistake in the book. I'm such an advocate to mentor particularly female founders, because I didn't have a mentor, meaning very comfortable on the R&D side, which is an entirely different thing than launching a brand, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have made every mistake under the sun. I remember, and some mistakes, they just happen to you, right? Meaning that you're doing everything that you can do, and then it's simply out of your control. I remember there was an order that we needed to get in for, it probably was a either a Sephora or a QVC that had like a hard ship date, meaning like the install date goes live, the product must arrive in time.
Wait, we have to go back. How did you even get into Sephora and QVC?
Okay, then we'll start there. And this is what I will say, like, to anybody who's wanting to start a business who might be listening. You have got to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And this is why there are going to be so many instances, and this is how we grow in life. I have been so humbled as a founder on so many occasions when you are told no and you have to eat crow. And I think it's so important. I love that you talk about this, because on the surface, I'm honestly shocked sometimes when people are like, oh my gosh, look, you've won the Allure Best of Beauty Award, and you were in Vogue, and you were this, and it's so amazing. Like, look at this launch. And in my head, those are like the like tiny little symphony moments that, you know, pepper in to like keep you going. And or the person who you're at a PA in a store, and they're like, just so you know, my hair's growing back, or this, like, those are the juice that keep you going. But the majority of your days are filled with climbing up this mountain. And it is hard as F. It is so hard.
You can
hard.
Swear. It's hard
Thank
as
you. I don't know like where we are on this. Thank you.
No. I have warning labels on my podcast.
Okay, fantastic. Not sure. Not going to be the one to get you in trouble.
No. Nope.
So, it is. And we have to say that. And especially when you're juggling children, we have three kids. And another layer that we have unique to us, and then I'll circle back, is my husband is also an entrepreneur. And he has an amazing life insurance company that they have built, and it's phenomenal. But having two, we both have the same job. We're both, you know, we didn't plan it that way. Yeah. It's just how it happened. And you have to be so dialed in and know that there are different stages of life. They're hard and it sucks. So as you grow, so back to your question, like, how did you get into these things? You have to, number one, be okay cold calling, emailing. If you know someone who knows someone, saying, hey, is there any chance that I might be able to have the contact information for this person? Be okay that with someone not emailing you back.
Yeah.
And, you know,
did you have to do a lot of initial like cold outreach to even get
100%? Oh my gosh, yes. Because
remember, and people were like, beauty bio, what's that?
No, like it. No one knew. No right. one knew. And that is, I mean, I'll tell you, there was a trademark, in fact, that we wanted that a company wasn't using, not even a beauty. They were in, it was some type of an organic company or a clean skincare brand. And they had not officially abandoned the mark, but they weren't using the mark, would not get back to me, email, everything. Finally, I just got on a plane and I flew out to Arizona and I sat in their lobby like a creeper. Very sane. I was like, hi, I'm Jamie. And we'd really love to use this mark. Is there any way that we could come to terms on it? Is it something that you're still wanting to use? We're in a different class than, but I want to. And they were like, yeah, sure. Great. And we are able to come to terms on it. I remember, and you'll just die, Becky. Oh my gosh. I remember presenting to Nordstrom. I had a friend who worked at our warehouse who used to work with them years ago. So she gave contact information, and kindly they agreed to meet with me, you know, put a little deck together. I had never pitched a retailer before.
Yeah.
And I had no one in my space that had. So yes. Imagine, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, and this is like the single best advice I can give you, because it is what I have survived by and grown this brand into. All you have to do is put the other person's hat on in that moment. And most of the time you will probably come up with the right thing, or at least close enough. I pick a word for our team along with my executive team every year to focus on. And our word this year is actually empathy. Last year it was anticipate. And it really is just a level of empathy, right? So I thought to myself, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm like, do we bring in mariachis? Like, what does this whole thing look like? How long do we have? I kid you not. Like, it's embarrassing looking back, like how clueless I was.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, what would I need to know? I would need to know, what are the products? What's the price point? What's probably unique about it? I would want it to feel like when I'm at a lovely dinner party, like there's a brand moment. So I'm like, I'll have some music. I don't even know if that's standard. I'll have some music. I'll have a little spot for each of them, like a little amuse-bouche that has, you know, goes along with the line. I'll set it up in the center. And then I'm just going to go through and talk about it. And I guarantee there were, now looking back, there were pages missing that should have been in my deck. You know, like, what's your marketing plan? And what's the, and I didn't have that. But I think what did translate is I really believe in this brand. Even we were acquired last summer, which I adore our parent company. And now we're part of this massive publicly traded global entity, which is incredible from a resource lens. But looking back at how naive I was, how I didn't know what I didn't know, I am still involved in the business today at the same level of passion because I love it. I love this brand. My team works their ass off every day and I always want to show up for them. I was in Houston last weekend for my girls' dance competition and QVC was like, is there any way that you can do a quick?
Oh, I saw that. You did it from the hotel room or something, right?
My dad is in the background because he kindly like decided to come. And I'm like, Dad, I don't think you went to one of my dances. Like, I love it. He has the Mavs game on mute in the background in the hotel room. And I'm just like this. I'm like, and here are these high gels. And I love them, girl. Like, they're amazing. And you did it. And you, like, the girls are doing their, you know, taking off their makeup in the background from the dance comp. And you just do what you need to do because I want to show up for QVC because they've been amazing partners for me. And I think if you have that mentality of being part of what I would call a virtuous cycle, right? As you give and then your partners give. And then there are going to be times where people will disappoint you and you will feel like, man, I'm giving. And then you might have it might be someone on your team. It might be a retail partner. It might be whatever. And getting comfortable with the uncomfortable to say, hey, okay, you know, what's my part in this? Yeah. Is there something I could have done better or done differently? And then learn from that. I mean, I continue to grow as a leader. And continue to grow, I hope, as a partner as well. And there might be a time where I'm not the right CEO for the size of the business, and that's okay. I want to do what's right for the business. And I think when you have a mentality of thinking about the greater whole versus your piece of it, it makes it a much more enjoyable, I think, and productive journey for everyone because it really is about the journey. Do you think, do you agree? I mean, it really, like, your brand, I think, has done, you've just done a beautiful job of continuing to innovate, but staying true to your core. And that's hard to do.
It's hard to do. We had times where we got off course and then we had to rein it back in. Mm-hmm. And you think you're listening to experts and they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to your gut. Right. Which I'm sure you've had to do many times. And like, what's the right path? Where's my North Star again? And then you get back on track. Do you feel like the many hats you had to wear, which again, we touched on your expertise and knowledge, but no one ever prepared you to be a CEO or lead a team or inspire culture. So did that come naturally to you or was that also filled with learnings?
No, always.
And you're the face of the brand and you're the chief influencer of the brand. Let's like go on. Let's go
no,
on.
No. I will say a huge learnings, zero preparation. However, I'm naturally an empath. So I feel that I've always sought to understand how someone might be feeling. And because I maintained majority ownership of the brand until time of acquisition this last summer, what does that mean? That translates into, I probably had a lean and mean team. I mean, I don't think I even like took a salary for the first however many years of the business. I was still modeling to like make ends meet and make it work. And I mean, it was like crazy town. And because of that, I had done every job, every role horribly compared to whoever was there now, but good enough, right, to get us to where we needed to go. And I think it can be intimidating when you're in that moment. And to your point of like, I mean, I remember there's different consultants that I hired that in hindsight, I'm like, well, that was, I probably didn't need to pay someone to tell me what I already knew was the problem. I probably should have paid someone to come in and help me come up with more of a solution for the new SOP in the process flow or whatever. We've all done it. And just trusting your own gut. But I will say, because of that, that was really helpful for me to understand maybe what someone might be experiencing and not maybe minimize like, oh, that's like, that's a real problem. If we are, if our 3PL isn't talking to our ERP, like I've lived that before, like, what does that look like? So I think that was helpful. Definitely. And I've never really talked about this before, but I was talking about it. We just got back from a brand trip for a new launch. And I had a couple other founders that were on the trip, which is always a joy. It's like, you feel like therapy. And I could see myself 5-6 years ago in that person. And I wanted her to know that she wasn't alone, that I have never felt more lonely in my life and more overwhelmed than those early years of building and fundraising and figuring out how you're going to make payroll. And it's a great problem in the sense of like the brand is growing faster than you have funding for. At some point, you're getting bigger purchase orders, bigger POs than you have the capital to infuse to make the goods. Like the math is not working. So it's a great problem, but it is stressful because you feel the weight of everyone's mortgages on your shoulders. And I love my team.
Yeah.
And then you, to your point of like building a team and a culture, and you'll have individuals that are a great, I always say it's like dating, right? Everyone's right for somebody, and you're trying to, you know, figure that out and who your leadership is going to be and what that looks like. And it's hard because I don't know that your team ever knows how much you love them and care for them, right? But not everybody, just as you're growing, it's I'm so grateful that I have such a loyal team and they're awesome and fantastic. And it's just a tricky piece to navigate as you grow through different stages of the brand. I'm sure you've experienced.
And you can't, and to touch on your loneliness, you can't share what's going on with people that work for you. Cause if you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make payroll this week, you're going to scare the shit out of people, you know?
It's so accurate. It's so accurate. And those are back to like, find your girl tribe and find, and I wish I would have found some of my founder friends earlier because I didn't know. I felt weird. Like I felt like, am I not doing something right? And I sure as hell didn't think I was because I knew I was hyper aware of all of my inadequacies. I think that just having someone in that, when I heard my girlfriend say that, it didn't make me tear up. I'm like, you're not alone. Like, I promise you, I felt, and I will sit down and let's go through it and let's talk about it. And you pour so much into something that you're building that I just think that there's enough room in the sandbox for everyone. I was saying that earlier, and I think that's really important. And I really appreciate women helping women, and we all rise by lifting each other up. And I think that's true. And it's true if you make it true.
Yeah, for sure. And there was one woman when I was starting out that had a very popular handbag line, and she was like the hot new thing. And there was no reason for her to be nice to me. In fact, she should have been like, bitch, get the fuck out of my space. You don't deserve to be here, or you shouldn't be here. And she was so nice and so kind and warm. And did that just like very early on taught me like what you're saying, like you don't need to be that, like, this is my turf, get off. And I think I
love that.
Yeah. And I think for whatever reason, maybe it's evolution, you know, girls can be that way to each other. I'm watching it with my daughter now and her little gossipy friends. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like,
it's too much.
It's crazy.
It is. And I think it has to be modeled. And I felt that from you the moment I met you. I'm like, love this girl, like part of my tribe, like good egg.
Yeah.
And I think like water seeks water, and I love that you said it was that moment. I mean, I have a framed note in my office from Trish McAvoy. I met her one of my first couple of times on HSN, and she was so lovely and mailed me product. Again, we're both in beauty. This beautiful product bag, a lovely handwritten note, and same moment. And I think it's almost like that Devil Wears Prada where we feel like we don't want people to know that we're not actually cool. We don't know what we're doing. So we're just going to kind of like cool girl it, right? But to have someone who's so comfortable in their success,
yeah,
model that. I agree. I'm so grateful that I've had some of those moments early on,
yeah,
where you have someone that reminds you of how important that is. And I'll tell you, at our, just coming off of this brand trip, Juliana Rancic is a good friend of mine, and she's so kind, like truly one of the kindest, most good-hearted women that I know. And we were, you know, at this long table with all these girls, and some of these girls are younger, super involved in TikTok, for example, and they're very, you know, 18, 19, 20 early, and everyone's in different stages of life, and kids, not kids, married, not. And it was so lovely. Juliana stood up and she just said some really kind words. And I mean, was essentially teaching a masterclass on just elegance, poise, and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so awesome. And that genuinely is who she is as a person. And I have found that, just call it, you know, kismet, life, karma, whatever it is, as you give, you do receive more, but don't give to receive. Just be you and help, and it all works out. And I love that about you. You're that same way. That the purpose of this podcast, you don't have to do that. It's amazing that you take your time to share, to help others. And there's some people who are helped from it and inspired by it. So I love that about you too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I love Juliana. I was talking about her the other day with someone. Like, there's never been a good host since her. You know, everyone kind of just fades into the background and you don't really care about them, but we really cared about her, you know, when she was.
I love her to this day, and she's so great. And what's really sweet, and I don't think she'd mind if I share this because she shared it publicly at the table, but Cassie, who's now on the same network that she was on, was like 17 or 18 years old. And she showed up at one of Juliana's like book signings or something. And she was like, can I just take pictures and learn from you? And so, you know, they connected. And Juliana helped mentor her.
Oh, wow.
And now, you know, it's like full cycle. And she was just at her wedding. And it was really sweet because one of the girls at the table, and she was the youngest one there, and I loved her. And she was like, I feel so intimidated being here. And I was like, girl, you're exactly where you need to be. Like, you just own, like, you're crushing it. You're doing great. Don't you dare feel intimidated. It's her first time out of the country. And she was, I was just, oh, I'm like, I love that. And she said something so apropos. She said, yes, but her trajectory was changed because you chose to help her. Like, there was nothing in it for Juliana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think that is that it's such a reminder of, I want to make sure that I don't ever look back. And could I have changed someone's road for better? And I sure as hell want to make sure I'm not changing it for worse. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that we're showing up the best that we can. And on the same token, I tell my team all the time, give each other grace. I said, pretend that when you read an email or you read a text, pretend that whoever wrote it had a smile on their face when they wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
It is so
easy.
It is. And it's so easy to get offended, but guess what? Like, everyone is dealing with their own shit. As a founder, to your point, like, if maybe you came across as stressed to someone during a meeting and they're taking it personally, right? And they have no idea, to your comment a second ago, of like, you're trying to figure out payroll or this or that in the early years, right? And it's just give everyone a free pass to have a bad hair day and think that they probably didn't mean that. Girl, I'm telling you, this is like 2-3 days in. I'm right there with you.
When I looked at my schedule this morning, I was like, fuck, like my hair was on its last legs. And I was like, great, I'm going to be with this beauty queen looking like I got dragged in.
2 days in, this is like Cabo leftover. It's just, we're all here. We're all here.
So let's talk about Cabo. You just launched a new product, something exciting.
Yeah, our blend drops. All right, with bronzing, aluminizing, and a funny story, actually, no one will ever see this, but you on this podcast, This was our version one. We actually changed.
No, this will be seen because I put these on YouTube.
Yay. Okay, good. Well, that's okay. But I mean, like, no one knows like the versions that you go through developing a product. And these are literally like my lab samples because this is where I work and I'm in meetings. Like the number of versions to get to this. And this is a version you haven't seen because we tweaked the cap, which is why I'm showing it. And it's funny. These are awesome. And I will say being a mom, first of all, being a mom, like, teaches you more patience than anything. I remember in an interview once someone was like, so, you know, how do you stay humble? Or I was like, I was just changing like a blow up poop explosion before this call. So kids will humble you. And if you've never negotiated with an irrational 2-year-old, you can handle any board meeting ever. Yeah. I'm like, it's just crazy. But my girls are my helpers too. And they were all using all the different bronzing drops. We were all loving bronzing drops. None of them had SPF that I could find.
Okay.
Some of them were clogging to the skin. So we set out to develop a bronzing drop that was lightweight, had SPF 40, which I had no idea would be so hard because zinc oxide and titanium dioxide molecules are big and heavy.
Yeah.
And a white cast. Exactly. So there is one machine in the entire US that we have and we use. This is the beautiful part of being part of an even bigger entity. No one else has this. There's one more that's being made in Germany for someone somewhere in the world. But we can make the zinc oxide titanium molecules small and thin enough that there's no white cast and they can suspend in a formula like this. That's why most of the drops don't have SPF. And we have ingredients so that it absorbs oil. So it's non-comedogenic, so it will never clog your pores, which is amazing. Oil-free, and it has skincare in it that's so yummy for your skin. So it's plumping. It is with the polyglutamic acid, which I think is even more plumping than hyaluronic acid. And then tranexamic acid helps to even out your skin tone. So three finishes. There's aluminizing, which brightens. There's perfecting, which is like clear. And then the bronzing, which right now we just launched a couple of days ago, is in the lead. And you can mix it with your moisturizer, you know, like on the lid of a moisturizer, or you can even just apply it directly. Like I'll just put them on. And I want you to notice like they're super thin. So they almost drip down, which is what you want because they're really, really layerable. In fact, my hairstylist who does my color, like a freak show during my meetings. And she has like an actual NDA. So she's on my hair for a decade and I'm like working and I always make sure they're internal, but like, look how pretty that is.
Wow.
It's
I can't wait to try it.
No, I'll get them for you. Hannah walked in and she's like, why is your skin so extra dewy and delicious? I'm like, girl, the bronzing drops.
That's awesome.
And it was really sweet because I overheard, you know, like, we have kids and like, they do not lie. They're not generous with their words oftentimes. No. And I heard my daughter on the phone, several of her friends had bought it, which was so cute. And literally verbatim, they're like, these are legitimately the best drops. The color is perfect, you know, because they're, I never talk other brands like this one's too orange. This one's too brown. This is the perfect bronze and it is thin and lightweight. So it's super layerable and not clogging or heavy.
Yeah.
So you can mix it with your foundation, mix it like add a few drops into your foundation, your moisturizer, or apply it alone. I do the perfecting all over my face for my SPF. Then I contour like I just did with the bronzing. And then I'll take the aluminizing to kind of highlight. And in fact, there's a bundle with all three that's been our top seller, which to me, I'm only mentioning it because I continue to be amazed, even as we've grown to like Harrods in London and Mecca in Australia and all over, which I'm so grateful for. I continue to be amazed when people show up and support. And so you're telling me you haven't even tried the product yet, but you trust us enough to buy all three. Like it's not... I'm so grateful for that we have people who love the brand, trust the brand. Everyone works hard for their dollar and I would never want someone to have an experience that isn't great. And, I'm sure there are other brands that do, I don't know because, it's not common, but we third party clinically test every single product.
Wow.
And that's not required. I think people assume like it's required, like that's not required. So we do first party to make sure like it gets to that next stage and then third party and your third party clinical testing can be like $120,000 to $600,000, depending on the test that you're doing, how many people are in your study. And straight up, we have gotten to third party stage before. And I didn't think that the results were good enough for our brand. They were good enough, but, and that sucks because you have this internal struggle of like,
You poured in so much money.
And yeah, it's a temptation to be like, well, it's good enough. And we won't, like, my dad has ingrained it in me. Like, I take a lot of pride in our formulas and they're really good. And we will never launch something that doesn't work.
Right.
And I just think that it's more rare and it comes with a price tag, which means we didn't have the marketing dollars for a long time. Like, this is our first brand trip we've ever done.
So wait, I want to touch on that because I could talk to you all day. But you mentioned the acquisition, which gave you more resources, mm-hmm, and made, you know, now you have this magical zinc smushing machine.
Like, yeah, that's the official name if anybody was wondering. The zinc smushing.
I want you to tell me briefly, like, going through the transaction, so many founders, it's amazing and terrible at the same time. And I say those words, you know, like, what was that like for you?
Incredibly intimidating. You're sitting across from brands that
You can say who acquired you, right?
Right. Yes. The formal entity is Rise. Parent company is Nu Skin.
Okay.
And when we were in the process and we met with all of the typical suspects.
You wanted to sell, or people, you were getting inbound? So you were like, let me
inbound. I mean, okay, we started getting inbound. I sold minority interest in the company to a private equity group, which is kind of the typical path. You're either venture or private equity.
Yep.
And typically private equity. And then within a period of time, obviously they're wanting a return on their investment as well, naturally. Then you start having conversations with strategic. So you're already on people's radar, meaning, you know, we'd had initial interest from strategics to be that minority partner, which to me didn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. Because it felt, it's always important to maintain optionality. And to me, that felt perhaps a bit more limiting. And in terms of Beauty Bio's final home as it grows, it was really important to me that we were important to the acquirer, right? Yeah. Many venture groups and private equity groups, oftentimes they're making multiple acquisitions, which is great. But if everyone's important, no one's important, right? Yeah. So it's important. I've also seen where strategics acquire a brand and the brand gets gutted.
Right.
And that just...
So for you personally, like what went through, like what was that process like? Like you signed the document and the next day, like what went through your head?
Pride.
Yeah.
Because it's truly... I have an 18-year-old son who is leaving for college this fall, which breaks my heart. And I cry like a freak show every night when I say goodnight. I'm like, good night, buddy. I love you. You know, same tree. He's like, you have problems, mom. But it's like that. I mean, the deal, you have a closing call. And then immediately after, I scheduled a call with my team. And I was emotional.
Yeah.
And then I scheduled one-on-ones with each of my direct reports to just thank them. There is 0% chance we would be where we are today without our team.
Yeah.
Who gives and gets on the 3 a.m. flight with me and we're off to wherever. And like, it is not for the faint of heart. And I am so thankful. And it was the end of an era, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an individual on my team has worked with me for going on 8 years. And we were laughing in our tears of like, she's like, Jamie, I showed up thinking in my head, it was like this massive team because you were a big brand. And I walk in and I see this small team in our first original office. In fact, one of the sweet gals on my accounting team, she still loved those old little with the paper, like the, you know, the, whatever those are called. And she's like, I'll never forget walking in and seeing the paper roll out. And she came from a really big company and she was like, what did I do? And I'm so grateful for people that took a chance on me and the brand. And now we have almost 600 people that work for the brand across the country and world, I should say. And, you know, very formalized processes and warehouse, you know, all of it. And, but you still feel like that girl in the beginning, just trying to, you know, figure it out and pull it together there. You know, you always have that part. And I think that's so healthy to always keep that part as well. And just remember, you know, how it started, but it was emotional in the sense of it's the end of an era, right? And it truly is like sending your child off to college. And my mom, when I mentioned to her, I just said, I'm just so sad. But she said, but yes, honey, but that's our job.
Yeah.
Our job is to help prepare them so they can go out. And that means that you've done your job, that they can go out and be, you know, humans that can contribute to the world and help hopefully make the world better. And that's our job. And it's hard to know that that transition is there and it's never going to be exactly what it was. But then there's so many amazing things about the next piece. And it is important to spend time with whoever acquires you. And our acquiring company has been everything that they said that they would be. And they own
that's incredible.
Multiple manufacturers that many brands that we sell next to at Sephora and Ulta are produced by that you would never know, right? I'm sure it's the same in fashion where, you know, there'll be someone that makes sunglasses and maybe there are multiple brands that whatever it might be. And so that's been, they've been unbelievable partners. And so it's exciting. And there's other, you know, growth plans for them that are interesting to be a part of that were exciting for me. I'm too young to retire. I think I'd be like depressed.
You have too many, like, I feel like this is in your blood. It's what you love. It clearly comes across. Thank you so much for sharing and for your incredible product. And it was great to see you and have you on. And everyone can buy Beauty Bio like wherever, like all the places.
You're the sweetest. Can we do another episode where we all just get to sit and go over your story again? Because you're always so true. Like can it be a reverse? Like, can we do a part two of this? And I want to hear all of your tips because everyone knows you and what you are and what you've done, but genuinely, it can be a private podcast, something, but you're an amazing, inspiring founder and entrepreneur. And
well, thank you. If you want to be my Barbara, I'll say yes to you.
I will. No, like, can we please do that?
Yeah.
I guarantee anyone listening right now, like, everybody wants that. So we're going to do a part two to this and we're going to hear all of your secrets and
I'll
all
be
of
in
your
the hot seat. You can ask me whatever you want.
You're in the hot seat. Yes, that's happening. Stay tuned.
Thank you. It was so great to see you and congrats. It's such an incredible, exciting thing to hear another woman sold a company. So there's not enough of us, but we're selling more and it's happening. So
it means a lot. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.